acoustically there with you. Unity in the body of Christ today. This is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31. And translations are available for those who want one in their home language. There are some at some printouts at church, and it's online on my website. I put out the link earlier, so it should be available somewhere for you. Well, what can I say? In the IBC sermon series, we usually read through books of the Bible and see what they have to say and hear what it reveals of our Savior Jesus. We do it this way because we believe that every word of this book is meant for us, that it is helpful, refreshing, and worthwhile at the same time. With that in mind, that we turn our attention to God's word, and I read from 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, given greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This was from the ESV. We don't have to go far in our experience of life to find voices encouraging or even professing unity. Movements claim it. Association based on shared experience, skill, or opinion. Think of the workplace, unions, and the specialization breakdown. Or our exercise, people rallying together around the same workout each day. Socially, we can see groups of people align by their shared age or location. And certainly our politics, movements configured on a strict set of ideological views. We attempt to label them for broader appeal, but when it comes down to it, unity is maintained by the specifics. And in fact, it breaks down quickly when you move beyond the affinities shared, when it moves into all of life. While some team sport members would die for each other, not many members of the Organization of Mechanical Engineers are going to go out of their way to worry about the emotions of other engineers. Okay, bad example, engineers don't have feelings. But you get the point, that our professed unity in any number of things can't last. Situations change, thinking changes, and division occurs. What if there is another way? Maybe sometimes, like the three amigos, where three different people with different skills and purposes really come together in unity, in a way so much better than fiction. Christianity is meant to be a place of unity, and not just in shared specifics, but in all of life, beyond the things that usually divide and separate, and it is all because of the one ultimate Jesus. In Christ, the church is built for variety, unity, and ministry. This is what Paul is laying out in our text today, and this is something that might just move the church into the spirit-empowered life it is designed for. This letter is the unfolding instruction from their first pastor about life as a church and an answer to a number of questions that they had for Paul. As we arrive at chapter 12, it appears that the Corinthian church was highlighting certain gifts, one in particular over others, saying if you don't have this gift, you aren't spiritual enough, quote unquote, or you are weaker and not meaningful to the church. In correction, Paul has said that the Holy Spirit gives each member of the church with a gift or gifts for the common good, in order to glorify Jesus and benefit the whole of believers. As the Spirit gives as he wills, when he wills, all barriers or attempts at spiritual stratification, quote unquote, again, are destroyed. And the church is given something else to live for over individual acclaim and reputation. Now Paul begins to outline how the church functions, lives in the Spirit. He uses imagery we are familiar with, each of us, the human body. Like our physicality, the church is made up of a variety of parts, members that are unified just by being the body and have a mission together, a ministry to live out. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. This is what the Bible says. This matters to us because if we are in Christ, it's this what we are made for. We can miss the point of our faith when we box it into a personal space, as if the good news of Jesus is not meant to be responded to with real life. I want this real life and to be part of the body that God has placed me into. Maybe you do too, and that's why this is good for us today. If you are not a Christian, this will help you see what a group of people that love Jesus is living for. Our path today is to realize the variety in the church, our unity, and then the ministry that follows. Let's look at variety first. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Each one of us is in the church have been baptizo, as it says in Greek, identified, made into one body by the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit is our drink, our source, the God who empowers his people for good in the church. And this new body does not consist of just one member, one part only, but many. This is the church given a variety of gifts, not just one. The Spirit unites peoples across lines of ethnicity and social class that would otherwise divide them and give them various gifts that will rely on, that they will rely on each other. This is an important message for a church. The foot doesn't decide that since it isn't a hand, it doesn't belong to the body. The ear may not be an eye, but that does not mean it doesn't fit. That is any less a part of the body as well. This really is the perfect analogy for us to grasp the reality of the church. Here we have different parts of our physical bodies, and each part does its thing, but it does so for the whole body. My lungs breathe air, which my heart needs, and my heart pumps blood that my lungs need, and somehow both provide for my brain that tells them and everything else in the body how and when to work. And this variety of parts and roles is necessary for the health of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how would it hear? A gifted church works the same way. There are a variety of gifts, varieties of service, and a variety of activities, for its healthy variety is necessary. How do we do this? A church full of teachers never leaves the classroom. A church full of evangelists doesn't know what growing to maturity looks like. A church full of prophets, well, it just gets really loud. We are probably more subtle, but we are prone to it. This is what is going on in Corinth. They want everyone to aspire to one gift, and once they get there, no one knows what is going on. Move to the individual mentality and it gets worse. Because I am a bright and beautiful eyeball, I have wonderful vision, and for the last time the toe can see what I see, so I must be not be a part of this body. So I just keep to my eyeball self, not sharing my gift with the rest of the body, which then runs into things, falls off a cliff, and dies a horrible death because it didn't see it coming. Or even thinking the gift is already functioning in the church, so I don't need to participate. A hand thinking there is another and it doesn't need to work. That way is wrong, and the glorious variety of the human body is a picture of the glorious variety of the church empowered by the Spirit, and it's never random, never assembled wrong. In verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. God is planning and forming every member of the church. You can argue some are prettier than others, but each is designed and arranged by God, with whom you can't disagree. The church is a collection of people with diverse gifts given by the Spirit to bring functional, full life to the church. And while variety is necessary for life, life itself is experienced in the unity of the body. And here we come to unity. While a variety of parts make up the body, they must all work together for vitality. And in the church, having a variety of gifts is good and real for us, but they must be used together in unison to function as the church. Just as God gave the variety and arranged the members together, he has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. He orchestrates the body of believers by his purpose and plan, bringing unity that there would be no division, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Here again, it is the common good that gifts are meant for. And this is our place of unity. All working our gifts for the whole, for the vibrance and vitality of the church. at belief in Christ, in calling him Lord, the Spirit works in us a unity of purpose and what becomes a biologic relationship of a variety of parts living as one. It doesn't work without you. What happens is care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. This is what we are built for, loving each other in such a way that we feel each other's pain and joy, a sweet gift of the Spirit. This is more than acquaintance. This is deeper still than some of our definitions of family. This is the church as the body, one for all. When this unity exists, when the individual members of the body are aligned and functioning together, living as one, the Lord uses us for his ongoing mission in the world. The God of mission has a body, has the church, and the Spirit equips us for ministry. Now, finally, let's look at ministry. This is where variety and unity play out. Specific gifts that form the ministry of the church, all different, but together on mission. In verse 28, Paul gives another list of gifts the Spirit gives. Some he has mentioned and some new ones. And it is important to see that these are gifts or roles and not just people. These can function in different people at different times. Some have read Paul's language. He says first, second, third as a ranking of gifts, but I am more inclined to see Paul laying out how the gifts were used to form the church. Apostles are the church planners, bringing the gospel to uncharted territory. Then the Spirit raises up prophets to declare the truth of God and teachers to bring believers to maturity in the faith. Then in the church, the Spirit gifts the believers as he wills, with miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues, all for the common good. But listed here, as they are, the ministry of the church meet the mission Jesus gives the church, making disciples, to know Jesus and to make him known. Again, Paul emphasizes that we all need these gifts to function in the church for this ministry. But not all of us are given each gift. The church is a variety of giftings working in unity to accomplish ministry. Each of us is different, equipped differently, but together for something greater, something higher than just existence. Paul commands desiring gifts, those that are higher, those that do more to build up the church and execute the mission of the church. Where the Corinthian church was desiring a gift of internal significance, Paul is saying, don't stop there. And he will build his case in the coming chapters, especially as he shows us the more excellent way of love, quote unquote. Desire gifts that minister to one another and others, to outsiders, that they may know Jesus and believe in him. Now, the point is, a church gifted and functioning in unity moves outward, bringing the coolness of gospel refreshment to a thirsty people. This is the heart God has for the church, to be his hands and feet in the rescue of the lost. This is exactly what Jesus has done for each of us. With urgency, he faced the cross in order to save you, to deal with sin, to give you forgiveness and new life in him. And we respond to this gift of grace by bringing him to others, running after the lost sheep together. Here's the thing. This is the ministry of the church, to function as we were built, to find the lost and to give them a home in Christ. This same urgency of a parent losing a child is the urgency Jesus has for the lost, and that led him to create the church as a missionary force. Yes, the ministry of the church is care for its members. Yes, it is the facilitation of spiritual maturity and shared burden. But it is ultimately a disciple-making, Jesus proclaiming lost and found. This is what Paul wants the Corinthian church and us to understand. Gifts have a purpose for the common good and function in unity for ministry. This is the body working like it was meant to. In Christ, the church is built for variety, unity, and ministry. I like to think of the church as a reservoir, filled to be shared, the storehouse of what is vital for life, and that freely lets it flow for us, the gospel. But reservoirs are not meant to be only filled, so we drink of the Spirit, seek the Lord for filling and power so we can flow out, but so we can bring the gospel to those in need. Get in on the action. Love, use your gifts as part of the church, for the good of the church and for the ministry of the church. Commit, come round, and invest who you are in who you and who we are as one in Christ. Share burdens, share joys, share the work of mission. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 7, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. In Christ, the church is built for variety, unity, and ministry. Earlier, I said God was assembling the personality, quote unquote, that is the church. Because when he composes the body of the local church, it can be unique. There will be many looks, but still one mission to be met. Living our variety in unity, ministering to each other and to others for the glory of God. If you are in for that, say Amen. I'm praying from Ephesians 3 in an adapted version. Father, we bow our knees before you, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of your glory, you may grant us to be strengthened with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what it is, the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.